While we are setting up the next executive session, just a quick, two comments.
They haven't let them in yet, they are all out.
The two that were in, I just want to make sure that they're out before we go forward.
We'll set up the next executive session, we'll describe that in just a moment, but just a quick comment for me. We're fortunate to have our legal counsel in the room with us today, Mr. Joshua Nasby. You heard from him a moment ago. He has a tough act to follow in person, and he knows it, but he's doing well so far. So, Josh, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Further, Mr. Burson, I think you have an announcement about staffing.
Well, I wasn't going to do that in executive session. I'll make sure I do that in open session.
That'd be just fine with me.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, we're setting up the next executive session, which pertains to, collectively, items 25 through 29 on your agenda. When the time comes, we will have to act as the commission on each of those items individually, though the participants, plural, have agreed to participate collectively and thus not be subject to the neutrality provisions of not being in. So they'll be in the entire proceeding once we arrange for their participation by phone. Am I right?
They're all ready. I just need to admit them.
That's fine. Please admit them to executive session, item number 25 on your agenda.
Commissioner
Mr. Halster.
I just
need
to hear item number 25. Is now joining.
Unknown participant is now joining.
I did hear what Mr. Halster said.
She just didn't. She didn't know what number we were on.
Oh, but 25. Yeah, we're on number 25.
Through 29.
Technically speaking, in effect, we'll be considering, in some general way, subject to our staff's report, items 25 through 29, which are, albeit different items, which will require individual votes, but may involve the same issues. So in a moment, once we confirm participation, we'll proceed in the normal way.
Okay,
Monica, when you're ready, let me know.
One, two, three, four. Yep, we have them.
Everybody on?
Michael Carter is on there.
Unknown participant is now exiting.
Yes, we have one that was. We have them all. We have two members of the media currently present as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think everybody, I'm going to assume at the moment, can hear me from Salem. We are now going to proceed technically to item 25. The information that is shared may pertain actually to items 25 through 29, all involving the Port of Newport. Our way to start this executive session proceeding, which by the way is being conducted pursuant to ORS 244.260 sub 4 sub D and ORS 192.685 sub 1. That said, the first step is to hear a report on this matter from our staff person, Mr. Burson.
No, I won't be doing a report, but I just have a question. So you said there's two media on?
Yes.
Could they identify who they are and where they're from?
What?
I can identify them, but yeah, if you'd like them to.
Yeah.
Can the media on this call please identify yourself?
Unknown participant is now joining.
Robert Michael Carter. Yes, sir.
Say that one more time, please.
Why is she getting in?
Robert Michael Carter.
He's on
case number 20-237 ELC.
3647
unknown participant is now exiting.
Why do they keep getting in?
Do you want to keep him out? Yeah, Carter needs to be out. He's in public session.
Mr. Carter needs to leave till the public session. Is there any media on who identify themselves, please?
Hello, can you hear me? This is Rick Childress. I'm a reporter with the Clarence Falls Herald News.
Thank you very much. We heard that. Monica, are we okay now?
Who's the other media person?
The other media person is Holly Delamuth, Jefferson Public Radio. She was interested in agenda item 15. But she is on. She's under 3874. Right here.
Okay, that's acceptable, I believe, under statutory provisions, am I right? Okay, we have two media present. They identified themselves or been identified. With regard to item 25, we will now proceed to hear a staff report.
Thank you, Vice Chair Fiskum, Chair Mason, Commissioners, Vice Chair. Items 25 to 29 are preliminary review reports for the five members of the Board of Commissioners for the Port of Newport. All five are appearing, four by video, one by telephone, and they have, prior to the meeting, made a limited waiver of confidentiality so that their cases could be heard together in the executive session. I also want to bring to your attention, Commissioner Jeff Lackey submitted some supplemental information earlier this week. All of that has been emailed to you and a hard copy provided to Vice Chair Fiskum. All right, this matter came to our attention through a self-report from Port Commissioner Walter Chuck. On May 3rd of this year, the Port Commission met in executive session called under subsection 2I to do a performance evaluation of the port manager. During this executive session, the port commissioners and the port manager began discussing the manager's contract and her salary, specifically whether to increase her salary and by how much, and how her salary compares to ones at other Oregon ports. Both the Attorney General's manual and our administrative rules advise that compensation must not be discussed or negotiated in an executive session. During the port's discussion in that executive session, Port Commissioner Walter Chuck pointed out that they were not supposed to negotiate salary. However, his objection was kind of dismissed, and the manager and other commissioners thought that they could or had in the past, and so the discussion proceeded for approximately half an hour. After the meeting was over, the port manager did check with the Oregon Special Districts Association, who advised her that discussion of an officer's salary could not be done in executive session. Following this advice, the port commissioners proceeded to schedule a new work session, a public work session, and I listened to both the executive session recording and the work session recording, and it does appear that in the public session they did repeat much of the discussion of the contract and salary negotiations. The port commissioners and staff were cooperative during this preliminary review phase. As noted, Commissioner Chuck self-reported the apparent violation. Commissioner Rutherford submitted a written response indicating that they had tried to be diligent in following the executive session process, but simply didn't understand at the time that the salary discussion could not proceed. And Commissioner Lackey submitted a supplemental response as well. In regard to the supplemental response that was emailed to you, I simply want to clarify it was not my intent in the report to imply that Mr. Lackey or any one of the four commissioners was responsible for the executive session discussion going astray. Rather, their discussion at that meeting appears to kind of happen naturally among all of the port commissioners, and Commissioner Chuck kind of raised the issue, but the discussion simply continued. Following the executive session, the port commissioners do appear to have recognized their error and made efforts to correct it by repeating their discussion in a public work session. Should the commission move this matter to investigation, we would seek to negotiate an appropriate settlement for a letter of education.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Now's the time for commissioners to pose any questions for our staff. Please seek the ability to be recognized. This is for commissioners to staff. Ms. Hollister, please.
Two quick questions. Thank you for your fund investigation. First, I'm just wondering if there's any evidence that the commissioners were relying on advice of counsel in entering an executive session.
Commissioner Hollister, no, there was no counsel present, and I was not none of the responses I got indicated that they had sought counsel before the executive session. They did, of course, seek SDAO counsel afterwards.
Great. Thank you. And then my second question was, I mean, in an instance where one member of a commission raises an objection to the executive session and ceases participation, it seems to me there might be an argument that that individual was not did not act in violation. But I'm just wondering what, if you could tell me what this commission has found on that point in the past, or if there's any direction you might offer.
Yes, Commissioner Hollister. Typically, our advice to members of the governing body when a situation like this occurs is that if they recognize that discussion in an executive session is strange or an unauthorized topic or something that was not announced, they need to make their objection on the record, but then they need to not participate. Not only, they can't just sit there and say, okay, well, everyone else is talking, I'm simply not going to talk. They need to actually leave the executive session. In this case, Mr. Chuck raised the objection, said, wait a minute, I don't think we're allowed to do this. It appeared that he was trying to find the statute while the discussion proceeded. But then later, as the discussion proceeded, he did speak up again. He was present, and under the administrative rules, all members of a governing body who are present in an executive session where a violation is found are held liable for that violation.
Commissioner Hollister, please follow up if you have a follow up.
I appreciate the explanation. Thank you. That was very helpful.
Any other commissioners have questions for our investigative staff? Seeing none, we will now proceed to the time for those who appear before us to speak to us about their situation. Technically speaking, we're considering 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matters at the same time, even though eventually we will vote separately. So I will now allow those appearing before us to speak in the order they choose.
So we have Burke.
And I have two hands, Mr. Burke and Mr. Sylvia. I saw Mr. Burke's hand a while ago, so Mr. Burke, please, this is your chance to speak. Thank you.
Thank you for this time to speak. I'll keep this brief. I believe this is a very unintentional mishap. There was nothing corrupt or secretive with our conversation. My intention was discussing the steps of negotiating, not actually negotiating. We discussed how similar courts compare. There was no intent on my part to come up with a salary or compensation package. So I think I maybe I'm at fault for broaching that topic, but it was really to figure out the next steps for when we went into open session, not to actually come up with a number or a compensation package. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sylvia, this is your time to speak if you choose to do so. I see your hand raised.
Yes, thank you for letting us speak. So it was my sense that what we were trying to do was to get information for negotiation and how the process of negotiation would take place. So we were trying to collect data and share data about salary levels. And we were also trying to figure out, at least I was, in particular, of a relatively new member of the commission, to how we would proceed in all the levels of types of salaries that one considers, or aspects of salaries that one would consider for a ultimate negotiation of salary on an annual basis. What I was not aware, I don't think any one of the commissioners really made any intent to do this in a nefarious way. This is strictly, in my view, a technical mistake, not knowing where the exact boundaries are in terms of what or is what not allowed and when it is interpreted as actual a salary negotiation as compared to salary information or salary process. So thank you.
Mr. Burke and Mr. Sylvia, we may have some questions in a moment, but I want to ask first if others involved want to speak, and I see Mr. Lackey's hand up, and please do so, and then we'll ask questions collectively. Mr. Lackey, it's your turn. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. During the May 3rd executive session, I believe the commission's discussion, including comments by myself, to be within the bounds under ORS 192.660. Sometime after the meeting, I learned that salary and contract discussions, however general, are not permitted as clarified in the administrative rule adopted in 2016. In the future, I will seek to be much more diligent in understanding exact boundaries for all executive session topics. I support governmental transparency and compliance, and therefore the work of the Ethics Commission. My only concern at this point is in the section of the preliminary review report that contains a description of the meeting in question. I submitted a letter to the Ethics Commission with the request for 3 changes to the report in order for it to give an accurate representation of the May 3rd meeting. All 5 commissioners commented on potential basis for salary considerations and should be quoted as such in the report to show the misunderstanding was one of consensus. Nobody withheld from participating in those discussions, so it seemed to be a mistake of total consensus. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments? Mr.
Chuck,
please, your hand is up. It's your turn.
He's on mute.
Mr. Chuck, you're on mute, maybe. Still.
Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you for the time. And,
thank you.
I appreciate the ability to give comments, and I just want to say that I take executive session and the proceedings very seriously, and when I reported, I did discuss with the person on the commission that advised me to self-report, and I have no problem doing that, and I think that it's all about transparency, and as elected officials, we need to know what we can and cannot do in an executive session, and I take full responsibility for my actions, and thank you.
Thank you very much. Just one comment from me quickly. Mr. Rutherford, we have you on the phone, I believe. Is that right? And if so, do you want to speak? And if not, fine, no problem.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can.
Okay. I would just like to thank you guys for hearing this case and for the learning process that we are going through. And along with the rest of the commissioners, I agree there was no content on doing anything wrong. And this has all been a first for me. Even this procedure is a first. And it is awesome to be able to learn what is what we should be doing and what we shouldn't. And it is hard to find the line of what is allowed and what's not when there's some of these procedures that go on. And so, anyway, I just thank you all for hearing the case. Appreciate all the commissioners that are here this morning, too. And we just wait for the results. So thank you for hearing me.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rutherford. This is the time now for my colleagues to ask any questions of those who have appeared before us to speak, and I will see if there are any hands raised relative to speaking. Ms. Hollister, please.
I'll just I'd like to admit on my own behalf that I'm not sure that I agree with the Attorney General's advice on this topic. It seems to me that when you're discussing employee performance, a necessary component of that is whether or not that employee's performance warrants the salary for which they're being compensated. And so I would love to see a little bit more guidance from the AG on this topic. I think that this is a gray area, and the AG's manual takes the most conservative approach, which is a great way to keep public officials out of trouble. But at the same time, I'm not sure that it does a great job of defining for our purposes what types of conversation should be subject to penalty. So I just wanted to share that perspective. Of course, reasonable people can differ, and this is tricky stuff. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hollister. And for the record, Mr. Nasby has heard what you said. To what end, I don't know. Any other comments from commissioners? Questions for those who are appearing still before us? And I see the hands raised. Are there people who want to make further comments, or are those previous hands?
I think I just left over.
They haven't taken one.
Okay, fine. now's the time for the commission to discuss this issue amongst ourselves as commissioners and try to proceed toward action. I'm open to comments from any of my colleagues. Hearing no comments, I'm open to a motion on item number 25 alone. 25 alone involving Mr. Burke from the Port of Newport. I'm ready for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'll take the initiative on this. And before I do, though, I just want to say how very grateful I am to all of these folks for showing up this morning, for talking to us about this issue. You know, it's difficult sometimes when we have folks who just made an inadvertent mistake, and you know, they overlooked a nuance that technically is a violation. But, you know, I certainly appreciate them coming here. I appreciate everything they've shared with us. And as I think was indicated by our investigator, you know, perhaps just a letter of education to clarify the issue, I think is warranted. But I really do appreciate them being here. So so with that, because I believe it technically is a violation, that we proceed on with staff recommendation toward a full investigation with hopefully a prompt resolution thereafter.
You've heard the motion before us. Any further comments on that motion from commissioners? Ready for a vote? The clerk will call the roll.
Commissioner Hollister?
I'm voting no in light of my prior comments. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Hands up. Mason votes aye.
Vice Chair Fisco?
Aye.
And motion is 4-1.
Mr. Burson, could you characterize for us the effect of our motion, our vote, 4-1?
Well, as the commissioners know, it takes 5 votes to move anything forward. And so in the absence of 5 votes, then basically it kind of has a statutory death to it. So it's dismissed statutorily, you know. So, yeah, that's where we're at. So, and I think with all the members showing up, I mean, I'm happy to send them a letter saying that this case has been concluded, and if they have any questions in the future, give the commission a call, because if you don't have a lawyer there, if you can call me during the day, we will have somebody here to answer any questions you might have when your meetings take place. But maybe education has taken place. We can kind of do that. But anyway, without 5 votes, it ends.
Do we need to do this 4 other times?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just to repeat that, I think the effect of a 4-1 decision, and by the way, we have a quorum in place with 5. We have some vacancies on our commission. It's a source of interest for some of us going forward. And I'll leave the word interest as a fairly neutral word. But I also want to just underline the fact that I, for one, and I think all of us have appreciated the candor, the remarks and the candor of those who've appeared before us today from the Port of Newport. Thank you, and I think with our director, education has occurred, and we respect the fact that you have told us there was no intent to deceive or be anything other than transparent. So thank you for your appearance today. That said, this matter has in effect been dismissed.
Just well, to not by our vote.
We still have to vote on all 5.
Oh, have we not voted?
We have to vote on all 5.
Oh, yeah, yes, we do. This matter 25 has been dismissed.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're now moving to consideration of item number 26 involving the same issues of the Port of Newport. I would submit that we do not have to hear another staff report unless
no.
Somebody wants to. Okay, the commission is ready to vote. Is there a motion?
Chair, I will. Yeah, I will make the same motion with the understanding that with a 4-1 vote likely that this will ultimately be dismissed anyway. But nonetheless, for consistency's sake, I will make a motion that we move to investigate matter 26.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Sosa. Our clerk will now call the roll.
Commissioner Hollister.
I vote no in light of my prior comments.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Hand is up.
Vice Chair Fisco?
Aye.
Motion fails, 4-1.
All right. Mr. Chair, I will move on item 27 that we proceed with investigation.
Thank you, Commissioner Sosa. The clerk will now call the roll on item 27 involving Mr. Lackey.
All right. Commissioner Hollister?
I vote no in light of my prior comment.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Hand is up.
Vice Chair Fiscom?
Aye.
Motion fails, 4-1.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move that we proceed with investigation on item 28.
Thank you, Commissioner. The clerk, as soon as she finishes writing down information, will, in fact, call the roll again.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Hollister?
I vote no in light of my prior comments.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Hand is up.
Vice Chair Fiscom?
Aye.
Motion fails.
All right, and lastly, for this batch, item 29, I move that we proceed with investigation.
Thank you, Commissioner. The clerk will call the roll now on item 29 involving Ms. Kelly Rutherford.
Commissioner Hollister?
I vote no in light of my prior comments.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Hand is up.
Vice Chair Fiscom?
Aye.
Motion fails.
Thank you, all those who participated today from the Oregon coast. We appreciate your participation, your comments. Thank you very much. You've heard that the motions to move forward have failed. So we'll see you next time around for further education. Thank you.
Thank you.